Chapter 21. In St. George's Fields, and also in the vicinity of Clerkenwell Green, and also in the back settlements of Drury Lane. In appearance, they are very like the women among whom they live. They seem to turn out of their unwholesome beds into the street, without any preparation. They leave their young families to stagger about the gutters, unassisted, while they frowsily quarrel and swear, and scratch and spit, at street corners. In particular, I remark that when they are about to increase their families, an event of frequent recurrence, the resemblance is strongly expressed in a certain moldy dowdiness, down-at-heel self-neglect, and general giving up of things. I cannot honestly report that I have ever seen a feline matron of this class washing her face when in an interesting condition. Not to prolong these notes of uncommercial travel among the lower animals of shy neighborhoods, by dwelling at length upon the exasperated moodiness of the tomcats, and their resemblance in many respects to a man and a brother, I will come to a close with a word on the fowls of the same localities. That anything born of an egg and invested with wings should have got to the pass that it hops contentedly down a ladder into a cellar and calls that going home is a circumstance so amazing as to leave one nothing more in this connection to wonder at. Otherwise I might wonder at the completeness with which these fowls have become separated from all the birds of the air, have taken to groveling in bricks and mortar and mud, have forgotten all about live trees, and make roosting places of shopboards, barrows, oyster tubs, bulkheads, and door scrapers. I wonder at nothing concerning them, and take them as they are. I accept as products of nature and things, of course, a reduced bantam family of my acquaintance in the Hackney Road, who are incessantly at the pawnbroker's. I cannot say that they enjoy themselves, for they are of a melancholy temperament, but what enjoyment they are capable of, they derive from crowding together in the pawnbroker's side entry. Here, they are always to be found in a feeble flutter, as if they were newly come down in the world, and were afraid of being identified. I know a low fellow, originally of a good family from Dorking, who takes his whole establishment of wives, in single file, in at the door of the jug department of a disorderly tavern near the Haymarket, maneuvers them among the company's legs, emerges with them at the bottle entrance, and so passes his life. Seldom, in the season, going to bed before 2 in the morning. Over Waterloo Bridge, there is a shabby old speckled couple. They belong to the wooden French bedstead, washing stand, and towel horse making trade, who are always trying to get in at the door of a chapel. Whether the old lady, under a delusion reminding one of Mrs. Southcott, has an idea of entrusting an egg to that particular denomination, or merely understands that she has no business in the building, and is consequently frantic to enter it, I cannot determine, but she is constantly endeavoring to undermine the principal door, while her partner, who is infirm upon his legs, walks up and down, encouraging her and defying the universe. But, the family I have been best acquainted with, since the removal from this trying sphere of a Chinese circle at Brentford, reside in the densest part of Bethnal Green. Their abstraction from the objects among which they live, or rather their conviction, that those objects have all come into existence in express subservience to fowls, has so enchanted me, that I have made them the subject of many journeys at divers hours. After careful observation of the 2 lords, and the 10 ladies of whom this family consists, I have come to the conclusion that their opinions are represented by the leading lord and leading lady. The latter, as I judge, an aged personage, afflicted with a paucity of feather and visibility of quill that gives her the appearance of a bundle of office pens. When a railway goods van that would crush an elephant comes round the corner, tearing over these fowls, they emerge unharmed from under the horses, perfectly satisfied that the whole rush was a passing property in the air, which may have left something to eat behind it. They look upon old shoes, wrecks of kettles and saucepans, and fragments of bonnets, as a kind of meteoric discharge, for fowls to peck at. Pegtops and hoops they account, I think, as a sort of hail, shuttlecocks, as rain, or dew. Gaslight comes quite as natural to them as any other light, and I have more than a suspicion that, in the minds of the two lords, the yearly public house at the corner has superseded the sun. I have established it as a certain fact that they always begin to crow when the public house shutters begin to be taken down, and that they salute the potboy the instant he appears to perform that duty, as if he were Phobos in person. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.